Weight Watchers now offers access to affordable GLP-1s. It works for members like...
I'm Haley, and I've lost 100 pounds. Weight Watchers has everything I need, from weight loss medications to nutrition support and help with my side effects. It's all in one place.
Weight Watchers handles the insurance for you and offers affordable cash pay options. With our program, our members are losing more weight with expert nutrition and side effect support.
I'm Mike, and I've lost 135 pounds. Weight Watchers prescribing GLP-1 medications, it's been life-changing.
I'm Sharia, and I lost 80 pounds on Weight Watchers.
I realized that it would take more than a prescription to lose weight and feel good on a GLP-1.
Better results, expert support, lose more weight, make it last.
I can't imagine doing a GLP-1 without Weight Watchers.
Get started for as low as $25 at weightwatchers.com/GLP-1. For over 60 years, we've helped millions of members find what works for them. Now, it's your turn. Weight Watchers, watch it work. Weight Watchers now offers access to affordable GLP-1s.
Weight Watchers has everything I need, from weight loss medications to nutrition support and help with my side effects.
With our program, our members are losing more weight with expert nutrition and side effect support.
Weight Watchers prescribing GLP-1 medications, it's been life-changing.
Better results, expert support, lose more weight, make it last. Get started today for as low as $25 at weightwatchers.com.
Truth.
Welcome to Trusting the Truth with Samuel Tolley, where we view the world through the lens of Jesus Christ. We do not view Jesus Christ through the lens of the world. How you doing? This is Sam Tolley with Trusting the Truth, and today's episode of Trusting the Truth is a Mordecai Mission special. We're going to have a conversation about the topic of abortion. Abortion is a conversation that unfortunately many of us in the world ignore or don't want to have. But those of us that love the Lord, those of us that love His mission, believe we need to talk about everything, whether it's good, bad, or indifferent. So when we get started, I'm going to start off by asking Pastor Green to lead us in a prayer.
Amen. And dear Lord, we just pray that Father God, that you will be in our midst today. Father God, as we speak on this issue of abortion, Lord, we just pray, Lord, that we will speak what you would have us to say. And I pray, Father God, that you will prick the heart and the ears of everyone who will hear this conversation for your glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Now, Pastor Green, I'm going to start off with you. There is a question that I want to ask you as being a member of the cloth. But before I ask you that question, I want us to look at this short 55-second video.
Video is under a special microscope and showing the moment of conception. The very moment that the sperm enters the egg, there is a flash of light. And the light has entered the world.
And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life.
Now, Pastor Green, I need, that believe in the Lord, understand what we just saw, that the light of the world came into conception. And it was a demonstration of the technology we have now, and we see a spark of life is created once that sperm hits the ovum. What is the pastor's responsibility as far as life? What is the pastor's responsibility for their congregation to know as far as God and the life that he's given us?
Well, you know, the responsibility of all pastors is to say the truth. When it comes to abortion, the truth and the fact of the matter is, it's murder. You're killing the unborn. But that unborn baby in the womb has a life. And God is the giver of all life. So when you hear these pastors or so-called pastors who are saying a woman has a right to choose, a woman does not have a right to choose. There is no justification for abortion. And any woman that has had an abortion needs to repent and ask God for forgiveness. But abortion is murder. The Bible says in the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not murder. So we can't try to codify it as some pastors do. You know, you'll hear your such pastors as Raphael Warlock said, oh, a woman has a right to choose. No woman has a right to do that. No man has a right to do that. Once life is conceived in the womb, the birth must happen. The baby must come forth. And as pastors, as Christians, it is our duty to proclaim that godly mandate that all life comes from God. And no woman, no person has a right to kill an unborn child. So the message is abortion is murder.
Amen to that. Well, let me ask Lindley, as a woman, they're going around, like I said, the mantra is it's your body, your choice to do whatever you want to do with your body. This is what I've been hearing them say to women for years. Is it your body? Is it your choice? Or why do you think that women even gravitate to that propaganda instead of just, now I've heard some women say, well, I killed the baby. I had my abortion, but that's rare and in between. Most of the time they just deny the reality of it. What say you?
I think a lot of women have been led astray to believe that it's not a big deal. It's just a few cells. It's not going to have any effect on me. It would be good for me and my future. But they're forgetting, in my opinion, they're forgetting the connection that they will always have to that child, that unborn life. They can wish it away. They can do all that, but they will always be connected and they'll always have that memory, that regret eventually of who that child could have been if they hadn't made that very selfish decision. It is not your right to take away any life. That is, you know, only up to God if God wants that. But no, I think it's, I think women have just been led astray. They don't see that it's a true, it's not just about the woman. It's not just about the father of the child or the child. It's about generations in the future that you have cut off from your own family, who you obviously seem to hate so much that you would do that. So I don't understand it. So.
Well, thank you. So Terrence, I think there's a great misnomer out there where everyone seems to think, or not, I don't want to say everyone, but many people, when they look at abortion and they look at the people that have the questions or guilt behind it or anything else, they always seem to lay it on just the women. But when a woman, and you correct me if I'm wrong, when a woman has an abortion, so does the man. And if the man, if he ever comes into right standing in his mind with God, I think the man has to deal with that as well as a woman. What do you think about that?
You know, excuse me. So I had a little choking incident there.
That's all right. Take your time.
It's funny you mentioned that and give me that question, because that's the first note I took before coming on. So we often talk about the women, they don't have a right and it's murder. Yes, but as men, we have a responsibility to come alongside that woman when she is impregnated, when she does conceive a child, to support her and encourage her. And in many cases, what's not talked about, so there are a lot of men who force women, I want to say force, but strongly manipulate and coerce and intimidate women into getting abortions. And to me, that is one of the most cowardly things a man can do, is abdicate his responsibility, then force himself on a woman to just get rid of the responsibility. That's like one of the most least manly things you can do, is not take care of your responsibility. And that's an issue that has to be addressed. I think a lot of abortions are happening because of that, because of course women do feel fear, and out of fear we react and we say, hey, you know, how do I get out of this situation? What's the easiest way out? It's like, in their minds, they're in a burning building. They don't see the potential of the baby. They don't see the life. They don't see the smiles. They don't see those good moments you have with your children. What they see is a heavy burden of responsibility. I have to do this alone. I don't know how I'm going to do it. It's inconvenient. This wasn't in my plans. That's their mindset. It's fear. And we know that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and of a sound mind. And I think what men need to do, and then maybe their other women, their mom, mothers in church, whoever, these women need encouragement. They need an option. They need to know that we're going to come alongside them and encourage them and help them with this baby. But when you have men that are coercing women and intimidating women into doing this, that's also another issue that needs to be addressed, is can these women go somewhere where they can get support and help? And can we address these men and teach them, hey, you can take care of this responsibility. You're not the first person to get a woman pregnant and not be ready for it. And people have been doing that for since the dawn of man. And we've been okay. You can get through this thing. I think we need to encourage people to do that. But there's so many different facets and aspects of this, spiritually and mentally, that needs to be addressed. Is people are very, and I hate to be so blunt, selfish, just flat out selfish. They're thinking about their needs. I mean, it's inconvenient to have a child. I can't do what I want. I can't party. I can't, you know, I got to pay child support. I got to be responsible. Those are issues, and people are literally wiping their hands in the blood of these children and moving on. And then one of the seven things that God says he hates in Proverbs is the shedding of innocent blood. And I think we need to let people understand and weigh the heaviness of what they're doing. This isn't just some, you know, fly by night, I'm going to get an abortion and move on with life. There's some suffering that goes on after that. There's some consequences to that. God is telling you flat out, I hate this. I hate this. He doesn't, I'm not going to say he hates the person, but he hates what that person does. And there's a consequence for that. The shedding of innocent blood. God is also just. He's loving, but he's also just. Yes, there's forgiveness, but there's also consequences. And I'm sure some of the other ladies on this show here can talk about this, probably to a greater extent than I can. But when these women have abortions, there's also the suicide rates are much higher. The depression is much higher after these women have these abortions. The regret, the emotional trauma that happens after you have this. I mean, you got to spend the rest of your life thinking about what could have been that can't be now. And those men, I'm sorry, I'm getting off your question here, but those men, man, how do you live with yourself thinking, I got rid of my son or I got rid of my daughter? That's a heavy weight to carry. And not only do we need to address this before it happens, but maybe coming alongside these people and getting them to see the consequences of their action, bringing them to repentance, and hey, let's deal with this. So if it does happen again, you don't make the same bad decision again. There are so many other options out there for both men and women in these situations. But I think that's sometimes it's lost in the fight over, you know, pro-life, pro-choice. We forget about the person sometimes. But yes, like Pastor Green said at the top of the show, this is murder. And we need to deal with it as such. There are consequences emotionally, physically, before God. There are consequences for this. It needs to be dealt with. And I think for too long, we've made abortion so common that it's like, there goes another one. It's kind of like it was back during slavery. It's just another slave. That's just another life that's going to be lost on the cotton farm. I mean, this is a grave disgrace on our country. It's a grave disgrace on us, because we're watching it happen and people think it's nothing. And we talk about slavery and racism all the time, but what about abortion? To me, that's our generation's slavery. How long are we going to sit back and watch it happen?
Wow.
Sorry to go on so long.
No, that's okay. That's all right. You know, this I'd never thought when we would get into the, it didn't even dawn on me the depth that this conversation would entail or would require. And, but maybe the Holy Spirit has a purpose in doing this, because I wasn't even thinking about the men's situation. And then it made me, as we talked, as the question came up and as Terrence was expressing himself, it made me think about me and my participation in abortions many years ago. And I was a selfish person. I was a person that was just thinking about Sam. I never believed for one second that it was a blob or something. I never thought about that, you know, but I was thinking about me. I was thinking about what I wanted or what I didn't want. And, you know, it may sound cold or callous to say this, but that was what it was.
Weight Watchers now offers access to affordable GLP-1s. It works for members like...
I'm Haley, and I've lost 100 pounds. Weight Watchers has everything I need, from weight loss medications to nutrition support and help with my side effects. It's all in one place.
Weight Watchers handles the insurance for you and offers affordable cash pay options. With our program, our members are losing more weight with expert nutrition and side effect support.
I'm Mike, and I've lost 135 pounds. Weight Watchers prescribing GLP-1 medications, it's been life-changing.
I'm Sharia, and I lost 80 pounds on Weight Watchers. I realized that it would take more than a prescription to lose weight and feel good on a GLP-1.
Better results, expert support, lose more weight, make it last.
I can't imagine doing a GLP-1 without Weight Watchers.
Get started for as low as $25 at weightwatchers.com/GLP-1. For over 60 years, we've helped millions of members find what works for them. Now, it's your turn. Weight Watchers, watch it work.
And I didn't even, like I said, when we were getting ready to do this, I didn't even think I would even meet. It didn't even go in my mind to think about going there. But then I look back at what the Lord has done, and I look back at the situation where where David and Bathsheba, and when that child, God took it away because of what David did and how he would see that child in the future. And I don't know how God operates these things, but I anticipated seeing children in the future that I participated in their destruction. And it took the mercies of God to heal me. When he changed my heart, he changed my heart from the selfishness of Sam to whatever he wants. And so I think that maybe I'm supposed to say what I'm saying right now to help some other man get healed that has that guilt of participating in it. Because it's not just the women, it's the men too, that have an abortion. When a woman has an abortion, a man is having an abortion at the same time. And unfortunately, where men are supposed to lead, that is one situation where we leave them most of the time to take all the burden, even when we call ourselves supposed to be the leaders. If I was being a leader, there wouldn't have been no abortion, you know. But nevertheless, what was, I can't change the past. All you could do is deal with the present and the future, and the blood of Christ will set you free. So, wow. Let me bring on Jasmine and put her in this pit we just laid in.
If I may be so bold as to also talk a little bit about the minority of men who wanted the baby. As a clinician, I actually have had the opportunity to work with clients who they can't pinpoint where their depression started. They can't pinpoint why they can't sleep, why they keep having bad dreams. And slowly but surely, it's revealed through a tattoo on their arm that their girlfriend, without asking, murdered their baby. And this was a man of all of the wise old age of 15, and he knew it was murder. He knew he was mourning the loss of a child, you know, and to be on that side of it and see, like, there are men out there who, even as a man of 15, he's willing to step up and take that child and raise that child because it's a choice they made together with the chance that they would conceive. And as you showed that video in the beginning of the segment, I was up at like 5:30 this morning with the Lord, and he showed me Psalms 139. And we always read the one where it's on verse 13, for it was you who created my inward parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb. But if we fast forward to verse 16, it says, your eyes saw me when I was formless. Formless. Before there's any talk of any shape of a baby, like you were saying, the blob thing that people like to say, oh, it's a zygote. It's not really a human yet. It doesn't have rights. But just as Terrence was saying, that is the same argument that's used for things like slavery, for things like, it's crazy to say to many people, but the Holocaust. Seeing them as not human is the way to make it where people will brush it off, agree with it, move on. Make it like it's not a big decision. But again, if we look back in the word, which is the truth we stand on, it's very black and white. There is no gray. If we go into the book of Luke, we hear about John the Baptist in his mother's womb, leaping at the embryo, the presence of the embryo of Jesus. He was not fully formed yet. She was not fully curving. She wasn't showing that she was pregnant yet. And John the Baptist within his mother's womb was able to react to the presence of Jesus. And he was maybe around days old of an embryo. That's it. So this argument where it's not yet life, or when does life really start? There is no such thing. There is no such thing. As we saw in that beautiful segment, it was only 55 seconds, but yet we saw that when God speaks life, God has a plan for every single life that comes into existence. So who are we to end it? What if that was something in biblical times? We see so many biblical characters come onto the scene whose birth was, you know, already mentioned earlier on. Jeremiah, I chose you from your mother's womb. I called you out to be a prophet. How many have we murdered as a society who would have been the next doctor to cure a disease, who would have been the solving for something else? I'll never forget. I think I was like 14 years old back in homeschooling when I was spending my free time making an anti-abortion site, because that's what teenagers do, you know, when they have nothing else to do. And there was this saying, and it said, Lord, why do you have us having cancer? Why do you have us having droughts? Why can't you solve world hunger? And he said, I sent you the doctor, the scientist, you aborted them.
Wow. That's deep. I want to show you guys another, let me see if I can get this up. I might have to get everybody off. I don't know if you guys could see this or not.
Yes.
Can you all see it pretty good?
Yes.
This is the last year that we got the total statistics, 2022. Where the United States birth rate, it says 3,660,000, and deaths, and that's from all causes, natural, murders, or whatever, 3,490,000, which would have gave us a net gain of 170,000. But then you add in 1.2 million abortions. So we have a negative, you know, 1 million people. They say the reproduction rate of a society, any society, is 2.1. Now, let me show you a recent, a little small, 2.5 minute clip that I've taken of a interview of Mrs. Clinton.
Posted the other day this very blatant effort to basically send a message, most exemplified by Vance and Musk and others, that, you know, what we really need from you women are more children. And what that really means is you should go back to doing what you were born to do, which is to produce more children. And they're talking about, you know, cash benefits for the more children you have. This has been tried, by the way, in other countries and has not worked. Or medals if you have six children. While they're contemplating cutting Medicaid, While they have no interest in paid family leave or funding quality child care, they're cutting Head Start. I mean, you go down the list of all the programs that support child rearing and the care of children and create, you know, some safety net for women who are in the workforce, the formal workforce, as well as, you know, raising children. So this is another performance about concerns they allegedly have for family life. But if you had read the Heritage Foundation's Project 2025, despite Trump saying he knew nothing about it, if you had read it, it's all in there. It's all in there. Return to the family, the nuclear family, return to being a Christian nation, return to, you know, producing a lot of children, which is sort of odd because the people who produce the most children in our country are immigrants and they want to deport them. So none of this adds up. But, you know, one of the reasons why our economy did so much better than comparable advanced economies across the world is because we actually had a replenishment, because we had a lot of immigrants, legally and undocumented, who had a, you know, larger than normal, by American standards, family. So this is just another one of their, you know, make America great again by returning to the lifestyles and the economic arrangements of not just the 1950s. I mean, let's keep going back as far as we can and, you know, see what happens.
Mrs. Clinton, and let me show you a statistic to back up part of, well, not back up her argument, but it's amazing to me when she's on. We go back to the 1950s or further back. I want you to see what the birth reproduction rate was in the past. The last time we were at a reproduction rate was in the year 2000. Prior to that, it was in the 60s and the 50s, 2. And as you go earlier in time, we maintain more reproduction rate than we did now. Now, the last, and these are census years, the last one was 1.6. If we go down to demographics as far as race or the major three, they didn't take Hispanics back in the day, but in the 50s and the 60s, blacks were 4.0, 4.1, and whites were 3.2 and 3.6. But you get down to 2020, everyone is below water. So, I mean, and this woman is talking like it's a bad thing to have babies. So I want to ask you, Pastor Green, what's wrong with women having babies? What's wrong with trying to bring America back to a Christian foundation?
Well, that's just it, because America has left a Christian foundation. It doesn't think on biblical views. Because, you know, God said in his word, be fruitful and multiply. But now, the society that we live in, the times that we're in now, women put their careers or their personal ambitions above being wives and being mothers. So, you know, we live in a time where a baby is considered an inconvenience. Mm. And this is so many women were having abortions and they'll justify in their minds, well, it's too early in my life, or I have to get my, it's too early in my career for me to have a child. But, and we see from that there's no sanctity of life anymore. When you can compare having a child to a career and you weigh the options and you choose a career over the baby, over giving birth to a child, this just shows you the satanic mindset that is so prevalent in our society today. That babies are a minor inconvenience that we could choose or not choose to have. And if we get pregnant, oh well, I'll go to the abortion clinic like nothing ever happened and just go on with my life. And that's where we're at today as a society. We don't reverence life. We don't reverence God. And because we don't reverence God, we don't reverence what he creates, which is children.
Wow. Thank you. So, Lindley, Mrs. Clinton makes it sound like it's an insult to look for women to have children. And then to make matters even worse, she being the former Secretary of State and Senator from New York is advocating breaking the law when she says they're the only people that are having babies are immigrants, legal or illegal. And the implication is like we should allow more people to come in here illegally because we need more folks to have babies. But we don't want Americans to have, American women, it's almost an insult to have babies. And it's almost like she's trying to say without saying it, oh, well, men just look for you to be bare. that sort of mindset. What do you have to say?
I'd like to say I'm very privileged that I was raised by a mother who was able to stay home and a father who went to work and came home. I feel that our world would be much better off if our mothers did stay home and the children knew mom was home.
The new Wegovy pill is now available through Weight Watchers. Powerful GLP-1 results in a simple pill at the lowest price available. And with Weight Watchers, you can get doctor support and personalized nutrition programs. See if you qualify at weightwatchers.com. Ad not reviewed or approved by Novo Nordisk.
Home, I can't get away with things. You know, I got to study. I have to meet my goals. You know, who better to take care of our children than the mother as opposed to a caregiver, because mom has to go to work. So it's so short-sighted to me. And I don't know how people can think that it's better to raise a child by having the child and then leaving the child as if they're a dog or something, you know, and just leave the dog, the child home. I would think that most people would say that it would have been better if mom had stayed home with me. I think that most people would agree it's better to have mom at home. So it's such a Hillary Clinton thing to say, to dismiss her own power and her own worthiness as a woman. But, you know, that's...
You know, it reminds me when I was a child growing up in the 50s, most families had between 5 and 9 kids. And they were taken care of by one income, by the father, and the mother was at home for the most part, you know. And it seemed like it's almost, and I didn't do research on it. I thought about researching it, but it seemed like, and I think I even read to a point where it was almost set up to force the mother out of the house, to set up to make it so it was almost impossible to live off of one income. And of course, I know they denigrated folks having more than 2 kids. You know, we didn't get stuck with the Chinese policy of one child, but people with multiple children, they got to the point where they're frowned upon. And that's interesting about the Chinese thing. Now they're begging those people to have 2 children because they don't have enough. So And the recognition, this is what blows my mind. I've heard other Democrats say, acknowledge the fact that we are not reproducing at a reproductive rate. But at the same time, they're advocating killing our prodigy instead of, you know, having more babies. And then they insult Donald Trump. Well, of course, they're going to insult him for anything. He gives you $1 million, they're going to insult him. But the idea of Americans having more kids, it's just beyond me.
Yeah, well, wouldn't it be nice if all of the good people had more children and all of those who don't appreciate life, you know, there are consequences, natural consequences, I guess, to your stupidity, your arrogance and short-sightedness. So,
yes, there is. Well, Terrence, you know, when Pastor Green alluded to the point where we were supposed to fill the earth, which is the commandment in Genesis. And he also said, subdue it. You know, so we're supposed to use the fossil fuels. We're supposed to use everything that God put at our convenience. But these same folks that don't want us to have kids don't want us to use the resources that God gave us to raise these kids and take care of them. So it's all twisted to me. And people like Mrs. Clinton, either they're short-sighted or there's another agenda in place. And I think, you know, and I may be there, but I think there's another agenda, whereas she's the kind of person that the more poor, uneducated people that we can get here, the more people we can manipulate for their votes and the more people that we can use for lower employment. What do you think about all that we're talking about?
She's talking out two sides of her mouth at one time. I mean, if you look at the backdrop she had behind her, it said civic life. And she's talking about death at one time. I mean, it's for us as everyday people, it's eyes wide shut. I mean, it's so plain to see what's happening that you have to be in deep, deep denial not to admit something's not right here. I mean, you had Chuck Schumer come out, Senator Chuck Schumer, I think a few years ago, he flat out said that we need immigration because, like you said, we're not procreating enough. We need to have more immigrants in this country. He was trying to finesse it by saying we need to have them come in legally. Yeah. But it's a replacement thing. They're replacing what they've diminished. I mean, let's look at abortion, Planned Parenthood. We all know that it came from Margaret Sanger, who was a eugenicist, who was a racist. Her plan was to get rid of people who were mentally disabled, who were minorities, were black, Hispanic, whatever, weren't white. That was part of her plan. She even consulted the KKK and the Nazi regime on how to do these things. And here we have Planned Parenthood. From what I'm told, they're strategically placed mostly in minority neighborhoods. Now, I bring up the whole race issue because there is a dynamic there that plays into this. So if you look back at the back in the Great Society programs, where they incentivized single-parent homes that affected mostly black people. Back then, about 3 out of 4 homes had a father and a mother, and now we've reversed that. 3 out of 4 homes don't. They incentivize that. They push abortion, which disproportionately affects black people. And I heard Lindley say something earlier. It's a trigger word nowadays. You hear the word privilege. It's almost synonymous with white privilege. Now, I heard a guy on YouTube say some time ago, we keep calling this white privilege, but what it really is family privilege. It just so happens that the way things worked out, that more white families are intact. So it appears to be that they're going to have more privilege, so to speak. But what's happening is, and he gave this simple example. He said, if I own a company and a family member comes up and wants a job and some guy off the street comes up and wants a job, who am I going to give that job to? I'm going to give it to a family member. Naturally, that's my family. If it's a family member's friend, I'm going to give it to their friend. So it would appear to be white privilege, but what it really is family privilege. If you look at places like Atlanta, where you have a better proportion of families that are intact, you see a lot more so-called privilege. It's not really about privilege. It's about opportunity. And when we take away our children, when we cut them off, when we cut off our families, and we leave mothers, you know, that do have the babies to themselves without a father in the home, these things tend to just cycle out of control. And when you don't have a father at home and you think you can't make it on your own, that next kid, oh man, that's too much. I can't handle it. Guess what I want to do? I want to have an abortion. It's like she said, there's so many consequences to these actions that we don't give any forethought to what's happening. You talk about depopulation. Now we're at a point where I forget what the stat is, but we're getting to a point where we're reproducing enough people to take care of the older population. It's going to get to a tipping point where you don't have enough worker bees to take care of those that are, you know, nearing retirement because we've been selfish. We aborted most of the next generation. We don't think about these consequences long term. And here we are. We're going to be facing a lot of things. You know, they're thinking technology is going to keep up with it and make up for a lot of these things. But when God says no, God's no is more than just a no. There's some foresight put into his no. He knows what's going to happen. His no means I know what's going to happen. But we have to really take a step back and look at this, not only personally, but what is this doing to us nationally? Who's plotting this thing? I mean, people like Hillary Clinton. I mean, if you look back, there's an old tape where she was a lawyer back in Arkansas where a young lady was raped. I think President Trump had her at his first, when he first ran for president, he had her at one of the debates where she was raped. And Hillary Clinton, they had evidence that the man had raped, but somehow the evidence was tossed out. And they have her on tape cackling, laughing about how the evidence got thrown out and they won the case.
This young lady had been brutally raped. It was obvious that it had happened, but she got it thrown out on a technicality. So that tells you where the mindset of these people are. But they're all for women's rights. They're all for this, that, and the third. But what they're really about is power, control, money. And honestly, for people that are Christians listening to this, when Jesus told some of those people he talked to in the Bible that your father the devil, he said, your father the devil, you're doing his will. Some of these people, or whether it's tacitly, implicitly, willfully doing the will of the devil, there's some out there who are under the spirit of the age's influence, and they're doing these things. I mean, if you look at how it's all coming together, no human being in their right mind could plot all this together at one time. The death behind COVID, abortions, the welfare programs, all these things kind of are intertwined. And there's something going on there. We have to understand as Christians, this is deeper than just a political choice. It's deeper than just pro-life versus pro-choice. This is a spirit of death. The Bible says the enemy came to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus came, what, to give us life and that more abundantly. I mean, if we're going to fight this issue, we have to fight it not only politically, but we have to fight it also spiritually. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God for the pulling down of strongholds. That doesn't mean that we can't be involved in politics. What he's saying is we don't fight from a fleshly ego, from a fleshly motivation. We fight spiritually, but we also fight in the real realm that we live in. We can't just sit in church and wipe our hands and just, this is a political issue. No, people are dying. Souls are absent that should have been here. And we have to look at it that way from both a spiritual and a political standpoint.
Amen. Jasmine, that brought me to another question I was thinking about. The responsibility of the Christian, of the disciple, the church goer. Many people seem to think that it's only the pastors that need to speak out, you know, a lot of us, there's this mantra that's been in society for a long time, and I'm completely against it. You know, they say there's two things you don't talk about with people, and that's religion and politics. And that's all I talk to people about is religion and politics, you know, because my belief, and I think it's justified, that religion and politics justify every aspect of your life. In one way or the other, both of them are going to affect your life. And those of us that don't want to speak about it are allowing the other influences to take over. So should Christians speak up or just sit back and wait on the rapture or to go home to Jesus?
So, you know, it's funny that you asked me that question. During the time when a lot of the debate was going on with what's happening with abortion, and a lot of it, of course, we saw Roe versus Wade overturned. Where was the church? Yeah, there were some that would speak out and celebrate, but many were scared to speak. Oh, my goodness, the daughters, the future. Okay. But can we look at the people who did respond? The Satanic Temple very boldly stepped up and started the Satanic Temple healthcare. Wow. All you have to do is pay $90. They'll send you a very confidential little envelope to murder your child, and they'll be in touch with you 24/7. And no one wants to make the connection between that being something spiritual. Not only that, but of course you can't find it now, but a popular teen magazine had an article around the same time with details on how to do a satanic abortion ritual at home if it's been outlawed in your state.
Oh my goodness.
But again, it doesn't deal with us Christians. Let's sit back, wait for the rapture. Abortion ritual. Step by step in a teenage magazine that you could just buy off a shelf.
Wow.
But again, as you said, yeah, we could just sit back and watch the building burn that we still very much live in till the rapture comes. And, you know, when it comes down to it, it's not just the blood on our hands of those who we didn't share the gospel with. It's the blood on our hands of sitting back and saying, oh, it doesn't deal with us. Let's just mind our own business. So we're willingly letting those of the fold, those who say they are believers, we're letting them stumble right into the devil's traps. And sitting back because heaven forbid we offend someone, or as a good behaved Christian, we speak about the dangerous world of politics.
Wow.
It all folds into one another. Unfortunately, in this world we live in, everything impacts everything else. And when it comes down to being a Christian, to being a believer of Christ, we have to be acting as our Father God, not our Father the Devil. If our Father the Devil is over here very much proudly announcing the Satanic Temple will provide you with a telehealth appointment and then send you medicine to murder your baby. But we as Christians can't get online and say, hey, have you heard of this adoption clinic? Do you need prayer? Do you need support? Do you need someone to network with you? This is what we should be talking about. These are the questions we should be asking. But instead, we want to just sit back and behave. There's no change that comes with sitting back and closing our mouths and letting it happen. Again, maybe it's because of my love for history, but and unfortunately for a lot of the current events, when it came down to the Holocaust, there was a very famous poem. It says, when they came for them, I didn't speak up because I wasn't them. When they came for the Catholics, I didn't speak up because I wasn't them. When they came for me, there was no one
Nobody
left.
Nobody left to speak. Yeah. I can't think of his name right now, but I know exactly who you're talking about. He was a friend of Dietrich Bonhoeffer.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
But
yes.
I can't think of his name right now.
And yeah. what if none of them spoke up? What if none of them spoke up? What if they all decided to be well-behaved Christians? Thousands of lives that are here today would not be here today because they decided to pretend that the politics didn't affect the church when it was very much a tactic used by the Nazi party to get their things put across.
Yeah,
take the church out, take the children.
Yeah, and actually the church in Germany was Nazified.
The new Wegovy pill is now available through Weight Watchers. Powerful GLP-1 results in a simple pill at the lowest price available. And with Weight Watchers, you can get doctor support and personalized nutrition programs. See if you qualify at weightwatchers.com. Ad not reviewed or approved by Novo Nordisk.
Coin a phrase. It was no longer based on Christ, but it was based on Nazi principles. Just like now we got these Jamal Bryant's and these Senator Warnocks and all, you know, we got these so-called pastors that are either effeminate or promoting killing babies in the womb, you know, ungodly practices that are, it's just rampant. And those pews should be empty if they were any true believers in it. But I think many cases, what we have in there are just a bunch of social club people.
Because they think if they have a seat in the pew, they'll have a seat in the rapture. They're going to be looking at some clothes sitting on the pews if there's anybody there who's a true believer anymore. Just because we say Jesus is Jesus and we believe the Bible, okay, you know Jesus is Jesus and you believe the Bible. You're just as good as Satan. People want to throw around the title, I'm spiritual. Okay, so we're demons. Be more specific.
Well, the Bible said that even the devils believe. And it also talks about the wide road of destruction and the narrow path. So you pick where you want to go. So, Pastor, you know, Terrence mentioned, and so did Jasmine, we got into Germany a little bit. And in the 1940s, I'm not even sure if I pronounce the name of this company. You know, Hosek or something, AG. That was a company that created, or they didn't necessarily create it. They were part of the production of Zyklon B. And Zyklon B was the poison gas they used to exterminate Jews during World War II. But also, that was in the 1940s. That company purchased this French company called Roussel Euclaf, and everybody don't write and say, Sam, you butchered it, you don't know what your name. Yeah, I said it wrong. You know what I'm talking about. In the 1980s. So the same company that was involved with Zyklon B also is involved with the production of mifepristone. I might have said that wrong too, but what I'm talking about is the abortion pill. So the same company that was involved with the destruction of 6 million Jews is involved with the destruction of millions of unborn babies with this abortion pill that they're using, and they're using in the United States. Isn't that ironic? You know, that we, you know, last year we had over 1 million abortions, and I haven't been able to get the stats correctly if part of those were, I'm thinking these were all clinical. I'm not thinking that these were part from the abortion pill. Because when I understand it was the abortion pill, these women abort this child at home. And it's not in a clinical environment. But nevertheless, we're manufacturing products to kill your baby at home. Instead of us going forward as a society, we're going backwards. What do you have to say about this?
Well, you know, whether it's chemically induced things to kill babies, I think all of this, what we're seeing now, abortion, is birth feminist movement. Now, how can I tie that to the feminist movement? You know, when you think about in the 60s, the 70s, when we had the women's rights movements, you know, women talk about burning your bras and all this other, you know, all this other stuff. The feminist movement is really the catch-all behind abortion. Because you saw with the feminist movement, they're saying down with the patriarchy and uplift the matriarchy.
Yep.
Well, when you think about the patriarchy, what is the patriarchy? What does that consist of? That consists of a man and a woman and children. Married people having children. That's what constitutes the patriarchy. But the matriarchy is where women are in charge and men are not. And so if a woman feels she doesn't have to have a man in her life, then that also means she feels she don't have to have children. Because you need a man to make children. And this has given strength, the matriarchy and the feminist movement has given strength to the abortion movement. And you see, it's all satanic and it's all ungodly. Because God made the man and God made the woman to have children and to create life. But then when you bring in the satanic feminist movement and the feminist belief that we destroy the patriarchy and raise up the matriarch. And whatever things, what constitutes the matriarchy are things you just talked about. Different ways to create abortion, different ways to eliminate children so that women can be what? Independent and function independent of a man, function independent of motherhood. You know, we have this thing now because of the feminist movement where motherhood is looked down upon. And see, this is the plan of Satan, that whatever means he will use to destroy God's way and God's order, which is the patriarchy, he'll use it. And a lot of this, and you know, you look at it, Margaret Sanger, she was the very person that really started this abortionist movement, wiping out people that she felt was unworthy to live. Mm-hmm. So it's all part of the plan of Satan. And this is why, as we as Christians, we need to take a bold stand against abortion. We need to speak out. We should not stop speaking out until we get a total abortion ban in this country. And yes, I said a total abortion ban. Abortion should be illegal because it is murder and because it is against the standards and the will of God.
Amen to that. Well, Lindley, as we're getting ready to close down pretty soon, I want to give everybody a chance to take about maybe a minute or so to tell the people what you want to tell them. If something on your heart to encourage people or to try to talk them out of killing their babies or whatever. So go for it.
All right. I think it's important to, I think it's better to have the attitude of let's bring back the family, and let's work against those who are trying to destroy the family, which when I think of the 60s, I think of you're destroying the family through the abortion, through the father losing the number one position in the family because the mother's now going back to going to work, and then the children lose their parents, and it's just a total destruction, and then divorce really skyrocketed over time. So I think that we just really need to be as pro-family as possible and understand how Satan is pulling from all these different directions to completely annihilate our families, which is everything, which is our future. So, you know, we just got to value the whole family unit. You can't have a real good family without everybody involved, the mom, the dad, the grandparents, everyone. So,
okay. Thank you. All right, Terrence, your turn.
I absolutely agree with what Lindley said, and I think that's a very wise approach. I would like us, as the church, I wish the church were unified in America and across the world, to be strategic and let people know that the church is there to help with these kind of things. You know, Jasmine talked about the Satanic Temple having, I believe, magazines on the racks at the store that teens can pick up. Why doesn't the church have something like that? Why does the church get together and buy commercial time on TV, buy some ads and say, hey, if you're a young lady, you know, or whatever age you are, and you're about to have a baby and you feel intimidated by the circumstance, the church is here to help you. And these are churches you can go to get some help. We're going to come alongside you. We're going to support you. If you're a man who has gotten a woman pregnant and you're faced with that choice and she's leaning that way and you need help, and you want to be able to say, hey, I can support you and here's what I can do, the church ought to be available for that. We can sit here and we can point the finger all night about it being wrong, and God knows it is. And people, that's the first thing that needs to happen, is people need to understand it's murder. It is murder, and people need to understand that, how grave that is. But we also got to be there to come alongside these people, because unfortunately society has created this belief that it's okay, that it's normal to have an abortion. So that's something we have to deal with. We have to say, hey, it's not normal. Yes, it's easy to get, but it's also easy to get some help. We're here to help you. I think if we take that approach, we'll see things turn around. We have to be more than just preaching from the pulpit. Not everybody's going to come to church. You know, we got to go out there. We got to meet them where they are, meet the problem with the solution where the problem is. And I'm reminded of Bishop Wood, and he has a nice program at his church, Upper Room Church of God in Christ in North Carolina, where they do go out in front of the abortion clinics, and they encourage mothers to not to have an abortion. But another thing he does is he goes alongside them and helps them. But he also follows up, and he shows every now and then, about 2 to 3 years later, these babies that were saved. You get to see these children that could have been aborted. You get to see these beautiful children, smiling faces, joyful parents with their baby that did make it. And I think that's something we should do strategically. Hey, moms, this is what you're going to miss. You're going to miss this beautiful smile, this beautiful experience. Yes, there's going to be some hard times. I got 5 kids. Yes, there are some hard times, some things to deal with. But the joys far, far outweigh the pain. And I think that's something we can do as the body of Christ to really combat this. Because all they see now, I think, is us versus them and this versus that. This is more real than an issue. This is more than just an issue. This is life and death. Souls are in the balance here. And I think we need to take a different approach. I mean, yeah, we got the victory of Roe versus Wade. But did the hearts change? Did the minds change?
I'm running out of time, Terrence. Let me give Jasmine about 30 quick seconds, because I'm trying to cut this thing off.
Sorry, Jasmine.
It's okay. I forgive you, brother. No, but I think the biggest thing to take away from everything we just spoke about is Jeremiah 1:5. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations. So we need to take our stand, because we don't know what souls are being ended and sent back. We're ending lives. We're not stepping up and speaking out for those who we need to speak out for. So love like Jesus, and loving like Jesus is standing up for what's right. My Jesus flipped tables. So.
Amen. Pastor, you got a minute.
Well, you know, I think a question should be asked. Every woman that has had an abortion, did they see the results of that abortion? What do I mean? see the baby after it was aborted. When women have an abortion, they don't see the results of what they've done. And one of the things I think needs to be done is that we need to show people need to be shown the results of what an abortion looks like. And I'll leave it at that.
Amen. All right. The panel don't go nowhere. I'm signing off. Well, I told you this was a deep one. I just want to encourage everybody, if you made a mistake or you just was wrong, take it to the cross. Jesus is strong enough to forgive you for anything you did. Don't try to carry that burden and don't listen to the enemy. Once you take it to the cross, leave it there. If you give your life to the Lord, he will renew you. He renewed me. He can renew anybody. And then get out there and get on the battlefield. Get out there and be a warrior for Christ. Get out there and tell the truth, the whole truth, because he is the truth, the life, and the way. And without him, we are nothing. You know, those of us that are here, we live for him. And that's why we are speaking to you in love and in truth. So with that, this is Sam Tolley, and I'm out.